Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're on a bit of a different route up here in the hills today. Walked up through the woods, really, really beautiful woods. And even though it's like southern Spain here today, ridiculously hot, we haven't seen anyone. So Wales is still doing pretty good on the old lockdown. As we were walking up, we'd just musing on the state of the world and humanity in general. And we were just thinking about where things might be going, say, over the next 3 or 4 months.
Well, I don't do very concrete predictions, usually. Even though I'm very more than happy to expound upon trends that I believe that I discern. If you go back over our podcast, you'll see that that is something that forms a feature of our thought about current affairs and global politics and historical trends and all of that kind of stuff. Now, I was listening this morning to Chris Hedges. He's been interviewed by Jimmy Dore on Jimmy Dore's YouTube channel. And Chris Hedges predicted the civil unrest that's taking off in many American cities. Chris Hedges made the point that he'd predicted just such an event and has been predicting such an event for a couple of years. And there it was. The way Chris Hedges put it, he said, well, what I was able to discern is that the tinder says, but we never know where the spark's going to come from. Of course, the spark was a murder of a black man by the police, which got filmed and circulated around the world. And demonstrations kicked off all over America, but in other parts of the world, in London, in Amsterdam, in Paris, in Manchester, in Cardiff, in Nottingham, over this side. Huge march in New Zealand in support of the American demonstrations. Some violence also in some places. In Minneapolis, where this thing occurred, the police station was set on fire. And the police have been incredibly violent and quite over the top, the militarised American police. The president hasn't really helped very much. He quoted a southern redneck in one of his tweets, and he said, when you start looting, we start shooting. And
Helpful.
Yeah, this was
such a kind and compassionate man.
Yeah, and this morning he's saying, well, we're fetching the military out. If the state governors are not going to sit on this, we're going to fetch the military out. There's been looting and damage to property, and the police have been beating up the press. And normally, somebody displaying a press card can be left alone, but they're just going completely apeshit. And they are deeply militarised, the American cops. You know, they've got armoured personnel carriers, full RoboCop gear. They carry pepper spray, tasers, guns, of course, as well. You know. And they fire tear gas, stun grenades. It's pretty well, it's getting fairly near to civil war. And it's quite strange. A few weeks ago, armed civilians, armed with assault rifles, very powerful automatic weapons, tried to take over state legislatures in a couple of places in the US, and that kind of goes down without too much comment. It's like, it's, oh, that's okay, you know, it's the right to bear arms and all this, you know. And really, what you've got centuries of racism that's institutionalised in the US still, despite advances made in civil rights and so forth. It's so deep-seated. It's like the karma of founding a country on genocide and slavery. It's coming home to roost. And it's pretty damn horrible. And it could go either way. This could be the perfect excuse for the right to just go full fascist authoritarian, military clampdown, military rule. There are already curfews in many of these cities where there have been the demonstrations. And obviously there's loads of discussion in every type of media, from social media and alternative journalism to the mainstream. There are many attempts to deflect this from what it's ultimately about. It's ultimately about capitalism and its overriding need for more. This is how Chris Hedges put it. He says the thing about capitalism, it's got one overriding need, one overriding raison d'etre, that is more, you know. The bottom line. And it is about racism, but it's also about class, defined in the economic sense. Class in the economic sense is the way in which you relate to, or are related to, the means of production. In other words, you know, to the main productive parts of the economy. If they belong to you, you are able to live off the profits made by it in the form of dividends on shares, or maybe another form of capitalism, rentier capitalism, on rent. You know, if you inherit a load of property, you live off the rent, you're rentier. And very, very few people in the world have actually got decisive amounts of capital. In other words, property which they can use to exploit labour to make profits, to make unearned income, to live off. And it's actually a very, very small percentage of the world's population that get the advantage of this system. And the system is built to advantage those people. It does employ various means of gaining the consent of the rest of us, those of us that have to sell our labour in a rigged market in order to live, in order to put food in our bellies and a roof over our head and to look after our children and get them an education. So that, yeah, they endeavour by all kinds of means to get our consent. Those means are not necessarily honest. In fact, they're rarely honest. You know? And if they can't get our consent, they use force. And of course, this is what's happening there. Consent has broken down for being a part of the system. A good many people in the US are saying, I don't consent to this, I'm going to start smashing stuff. They're very, very angry because the police, who ostensibly protect and serve, are actually acting like a psychopathic gang of black shirts. The thing about it is that it reveals so many things, a bit like the global coronavirus pandemic has revealed many things. And the way in the UK the exposure of Dominic Cummings has revealed many things about the true situation, rather than the stories they tell us about the situation. Similarly, this horrible, horrible murder and the reaction of the public to it is revealing very, very many things. One thing is it reveals that the police in a modern state are not there to protect and serve. They're there to uphold the status quo. And if consent breaks down, to wade in with force, to keep you as a a person who's not an owner of any significant amount of capital under control and in your place. That's what they are. They are the coercive wing of the capitalist state. And really, this whole thing has revealed the fascist nature of the American economy, American culture, and the American state. It's there now, right out in the open. Why do I say fascist? I say fascist because I take Mussolini's definition, and he should know. It was his party that coined the term in Italy in the 20s. And he said fascism was the complete unity of corporations and the state, so that the state could serve corporate power. This is what the American state does. You can spend 10 minutes checking out completely public data on the relationship between the military providers, the providers of arms and equipment, Raytheon, Boeing, Halliburton, Lockheed, and how their personnel slide in and out of government, either at the civil service level or at the political level. First thing that Trump did when he got in was he appointed a Raytheon guy, top director, as his kind of war secretary or whatever they call it. Straight away. And you've got this. It's the same in the UK. It's a little bit better concealed in the UK. They sort of take a bit more trouble to try and make it look respectable in some way, even though you don't have to dig very deep to reveal the same thing. But in the US, it's kind of really, really blindingly obvious because they've got away with it for so long they don't care. They don't even try and keep it secret, And the police are there to use force when consent breaks down to maintain the status quo, to maintain the use of the government to enhance, protect and serve and be a part of corporate power. Capitalism, in other words, the whole thing does boil down to capitalism. Race, now how race works is that if you want to keep your system of dominance, which is American society, going, it's much better to get the consent of the people than it is to have to send out the military and beat them up, because that kind of exposes what you're really up to. It's better from your point of view to have the consent.
And it's much cheaper.
It's much cheaper. Well, I mean, and also, riots disrupt the economy. Revolutions disrupt the economy. Demonstrations disrupt the economy. So what do? Is you keep everybody as sweet as you can. And they'll tell any kind of lies to keep the consent going. And the most popular one is what's called divide and rule. You create a whole narrative, a mythology around us and them. I mean, Trump's whole game is this, the Mexicans, they're rapists, build a war.
Yeah.
Foreign governments, they expect us to fight their wars for them. They expect us to equip their military. Fuck that, we'll go isolationist. Them, the other. But of course, how this has worked internally in societies from time immemorial is to tell the working class that it isn't a single unit with a common interest, and that common interest being to throw off the power that the oligarchy, the capitalist oligarchy, has over them. So you persuade them that they're not actually one unit, that there's blacks and there's whites, and there's immigrants and people have been here for a few generations. This kind of stories. And the kind of black versus white thing, racism, has been the absolute stock in trade of dividing and ruling the American working class. And it was there right at the outset in the form of black slavery, chattel slavery. And you could be a poor white, but there was somebody who you were superior to, a black slave. And when slavery was ended, you could be a poor white, but there was somebody you were superior to, particularly in the South, a black sharecropper. And this is all reinforced with all the Jim Crow laws, and if you were going to go to a hotel and you were black, you go around the back if you're like going to play in the band or something. Round the back, you're black, you can't go in through the front door. Just all kinds of petty stuff to reinforce the whole notion of the working class not being a single unit with a single interest. Nasty evil stuff, and very, very deeply ingrained because it was based in slavery. And some people try and argue that it's, well, that was then. I'm afraid that these things roll on, and it's still playing itself out. And they'll say, well, we had a black president. Well, okay, yeah. You know, overall, there have been a few improvements. But basically, the thing is so deeply entrenched that for very, many, many people, there is still tremendous cause for resentment, deep resentment. So that's where we're at. I think there's quite a lot of organising going on now. I think the lid is off. All this against the background of all the difficulties caused by the pandemic, and in the US, 40 million people unemployed. I think on top of this, people are going to be realising that the way the government reacted to the pandemic was to give the corporates like trillions of dollars. Bailouts, banks, airlines. Amazon has made half a trillion dollars extra profit, $400 billion, nearly half a trillion dollars.
Are they going to be paying any tax anytime soon?
They didn't pay any tax, and they in fact got a tax rebate last year.
Oh, how nice of them.
You know, and people are getting wise to this, because Joe Public got his $1,400 check or whatever it was, one-off payment. Trump made a big song and dance about having his signature on the checks because he could see it as a sort of a little bit of like electioneering. Yeah. You know, he's unbelievable, that bloke.
Like trying to play that off as a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little bit of money. When it runs out, well, you know.
And there's going to
come back.
That's right. There's going to be loads of small businesses go under, and they'll be fire sailed. Of course, the big corporations have just been given as much money as they want. I think they're still doing the thing of like doing stock buybacks and all that kind of shenanigans, because the stock market goes up when this kind of shit happens. Just totally bizarre.
And so weird.
Well, they're able to do it, and they use the money. They use the money that's injected into the system to create bubbles. So, again, you know, the small businesses that are going out of business, they'll be fire sailed, and they'll be hoovered up, because they'll be basically viable businesses. They'll be hoovered up by these huge companies that have got all this kind of excess money sloshing around, which the government printed for them. Whereas Joe Public's being screwed and maybe losing his job. 40 million unemployed. That's the biggest proportion of the workforce in unemployment since records began in the US. Slightly different here. The government's been a bit more generous about keeping companies and stuff alive, but there's still going to be a bloodbath on that level of the small business. So small business people and Joe Public are just all getting it up the jacks, eh? And the corporations are profiting from what is a catastrophe that, you know, it's taken 100,000 lives in the US, and it'll probably be double that before we see the back of this. And maybe 60,000 lives in the UK, and it'll double that before we see the back of it. And the countries that have done worse are the ones that have most advanced the neoliberal agenda, which is the agenda of allowing the corporations to do just exactly what they want, and for the governments just basically to be their bitch. So, well, there's just like a quick impression of this morning's news.
Things really need to change, because the treatment of black people is just so incredibly bad, and I'm actually glad that even though it's a little bit dicey with with the pandemic and everything, but I'm glad that there's been some demonstrations here, because I think, you know, we might be not far behind in some ways. No. And if we take a stand now before it starts, where it gets any worse at least, while we're still way behind America, hopefully it will make any future governments think twice about imposing the same kind of system on us.
Yeah, I mean, it does go beyond that. As much as we do have to sort of make an incredible protest about this, and about this man's death, and about how the fact that he's just one of thousands, it's a regular occurrence that the police kill a black guy who's done hardly anything, or maybe nothing. Police are out of control in the US, but if we just make this an issue about, let's get the police more in control, it's an issue about the entire system and its viability and its morality. The pandemic triggered the economic instability, which I've been speaking about for ages, and the cultural instability has been triggered by the police actually doing what their job is, which is to terrorise the public if consent breaks down. You know, terrorise control through violence, through force, if consent breaks down. So there's the cultural system collapsing very, very quickly. The economic system already collapsed. And the ecological system is, well, you know, we just got to take very, very, very drastic measures to improve our relationship with the ecosphere, which after all is that which grants us life. And that's why I say, actually, it sounded like a joke, in all seriousness, when you said to me, where's humanity going? And I said, yeah, oblivion and extinction. I meant it.
Well, we're back in the town now, so there is a little bit of traffic around. Various things going on. A lot of the shops are taking the advantage of this quiet time to repaint, so there's all sorts of ladders and everything all on the high streets and on the pavement and everything.
Yeah.
So I think we'll stop now before we get into the slightly louder area. So
okay.
Hope you found that interesting, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Make knowledge great again. Wash your hands. Davochi.